Hallelujah. I got right with God. Amen.
Amen. That's good.
No, I just, this is my second time using it, so I'm going to try it out on y'all. Amen. No, the Lord's been good to us up in Messina, and I praise the Lord for what he's been doing. We've been up there almost 3 years, November, and God's been just moving in our church, in our area, and we had youth camp again, and I thank God for that, and some of the kids here got to come, what a blessing, and we see 31 young people saved. Again this year, which is a blessing, and God's doing something. And it's not my youth camp; it's Brother Jason and Brother Art Prevey and our church. We do it together, and God's did that. And Lord willing, in the next year, we're going to be buying some property. We got 26 and a half acres next to us for sale, and the old pastor that started and built the church, he died 2 years after they got in the church building. The church is set up pretty much similar, a little smaller. Not as long. When I walked in here tonight, I said, man, I forgot how long this is. And I wanted to say this when I walked in. I thought we were going to the Barnyard, amen, show there down in Tennessee, because my brother's up here with that mic, and then they had the barn behind him. And I forgot y'all going to have VBS, and that's a blessing.
Amen.
It was good to hear Brother Jim again and all the announcements and to see my brother's face, because he didn't know what to do after Brother Jim got done.
Yeah.
And that was a blessing. he knows how it feels. Amen. But God's been good. And Lord willing, we're going to buy this property. I told Daddy, he said, what are you going to do with it? 26 and a half acres. And Lord willing, she wanted 100 and some, I think it was 112, 115,000. And she's giving it to us for $78,000. And so we're going to buy it. Lord willing, I'm going to build on it. I'm going to build a gym. And I'm also going to build a school kind of deal. In my heart, I want to do something a little different than just going to school all year round, but the Lord will reveal more of that as we go. But I thank God for what he's doing up there. We're seeing folks saved. God's put me in places that I never thought I'd preach. I preach for some guys that I get in there, and some guys see me on the flyer, and they say, how in the world did you get in there? Because the guy's Baptist brider, and he's a Baptist brider, and they have me come in and preach, and preach to those folks, and be a blessing, and the Lord's allowed me to get in some places, some Hiles guys and all kinds of stuff. And then I got into a camp right after our camp this year. And it was a smaller camp, but it has a Calvinist background. And so when I preached to those kids, they was dead. Oh, my soul. They didn't know what coming to the altar was. They didn't know what worshiping was. It's a blessing in here. You get singing. You see some of the kids raise their hand. They didn't know anything about that. And boy, Israel went with me. And Israel's like, my soul, Dad. I said, I know. They looked at me like a bunch of owls. I mean, they were just like, they preaching. By Wednesday night, man, God started breaking their hearts. They started coming to the altar. Had one boy get saved. And man, the kids started crying. They said, we've never been convicted like this. We've never been concerned about souls like this. And they were like, thank you, preacher. And I knew I prayed for them. They go home, and I challenge them to stir their church. But you know how it is. If you have a Calvinistic background, it only could go so far. So those kids, but it's a blessing to be able to go and preach in certain places and touch other people. Listen, folks, I'll say this. It's good for some of you. I know, what is a brother? Joe, he's not. Is it Joe Godfrey? Yeah, Joe Godfrey. They're on their way back, right? They made it. Son, you're a traveling fool. Come on. It's good for you to go to meetings like that. It's good for you to go to places. It's good to you to go out to some meetings and see things different. And you'll see things, well, I don't like that. And then you'll see things, well, I like that. It's good because it gives you a different perspective on the Christian walk. And it's good. And a lot of, I'm telling you, it's a blessing. You go to see those things. You'll meet people. I've met all kinds of people. And it's just a blessing what the Lord's been doing. And I thank the Lord for that. And the Lord's bringing some folks to our church. And it's growing. And I thank the Lord. We live in a town, I've told y'all this before, 16. It reminded me of Smyrna when we first came. Just a small town, but we have a mall, maybe five stores in that mall, but we have a mall, amen. And we're seeing the Lord do some stuff, and I'm just thankful. I'm just really thankful and joyful. Amen. See, God doing stuff in my kid's heart. We don't have a real good piano player. We have a piano player, but if she don't show up, we have another girl that plays, and she's just teaching herself. And then if she's not there, we're singing a cappella. And And then I just got another family came. The daughters played a guitar, mandolin, and something else. It was a blessing. The one girl's learning the banjo, so that's a blessing. And they're starting to come to our church, and they sing every once in a while. But just kind of reminds me of the early days of Faith Baptist when my dad took over. And Israel's leading singing. And just see God move through my wife and my children. Oh, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And I thank the Lord for it. Go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, I the Lord has spoke to my heart. And this is a new message. The Lord gave it to me just a couple nights ago. And I actually just finished up coming here. And so we'll see how this goes. But I want to be a blessing to you tonight. And the Lord stirred my heart in John chapter 4. And about Brother Kenny Baldwin said something at the summit as he was preaching. And man, it just stuck on me. And I've been chewing it over all weekend long. And I believe this is what the Lord had for us tonight. This is what the Lord had for us tonight. Before we get started, I'll tell you a quick story here about at camp. I went to that camp, and it was a small camp, so they took them canoeing. And I thought, man, this would be great. They went hiking. I didn't want to go. I had to preach and stuff that night, and I knew it was going to be long. And I said, you know, I'd like to go canoeing. I said, Israel would like to go canoeing. I said, hey, can we go canoeing? They said, yeah, we got a 12-mile canoe trip, Brother Jesse. And I thought, oh, man, that shouldn't be nothing. You know, a couple hours, we'll be back. And so we go out there and we drive. And as we're driving, now listen, this camp is right outside, right on the border of the Adirondacks, if you know anything about it. So some of y'all know Old Forge. And we went through Old Forge. And while we're going through Old Forge, there was a mama cub a mama bear and her cubs up in a tree. I mean, we're in the woods, okay? And so we get out there and we get to the place. And we had a guy there that was taking all the other vehicles. Him and his wife were taking the vehicles to where we're going to stop. At this end of this 12 miles. And I was like, okay, this is great. So we get out there and the director starts counting the canoes and he left one on the truck. So we were one canoe short. So we had to wait an hour. He come back. They went back. They got the other canoe. And so we're out there. So we just eat our lunch and it's about 12 o'clock or something like that. And so we get on the road. It is really cool, man. It was windy and stuff, but the water was kind of low. We haven't had a lot of rain. And so it was kind of, sometimes we hit some stuff because I'm heavy on the back end. And Israel's like, Dad, you need to lose some weight, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm like, shut up, boy. Let's keep on rolling. So we get out, we get going. We're going down all these little places and all around these trees and all this stuff and everything. And man, after 3 hours, I thought it was great. But we didn't see no end. We kept on going. I said, man, my rear's starting to hurt. I mean, it was a nice breeze, but the sun was beating down, and I said, my shoulders started to hurt. I don't know how many rows I did. I told Israel, I wish I had you had them Fitbits. I wish I had a Fitbit for the shoulders. Amen. Man, we were rowing and rowing, and we finally come to this bridge, and the guy that was leading stopped, and we waited for everybody, and I got out. I mean, I got out and went up to the road looking for the trucks and everything. No, they're not there. They said, hey, preacher, we got to keep on going. Now, mind you, it's 4 hours already on the water. And listen, this fat boy ain't used to that kind of work anymore. Amen. And so we got back in there. Thank you, Jason. And we got back in there. We got back in that thing. We started rowing again. And man, it was cool, man, but I'm starting to hurt. Listen, 6.5 hours later, we show up to the spot we're supposed to get to. Man, I'm praising the Lord. I was cussing almost the other way. I was praising the Lord. I said, Lord, forgive me. I'm here now. I'm sorry for my complaining. I'm sorry for the way I was acting. And Israel was getting mad, too. We were all getting we were getting grumpy. We were getting tired. I mean, it's 6.5 hours. So service is supposed to start at 7. It's 6:30. And I said, well, we're going to have service later. And so we get out, and we dump the canoe, and all the kids are running back and forth. And I seen all these woods and trees, and I thought, huh. I had my Nike sandals on, and I said, they said, Pastor Ryman, you want me to carry it? I said, I'll carry that canoe. They gave me the heaviest canoe. Would you believe them joking? Give me the heaviest canoe. So I'm walking, and my sandal keeps on flipping over on the other side because the terrain got worse and worse and worse. I'm talking about rocks, roots, everything. And finally, I said, man, I got to fix it. So one of the boys took it. I said, go ahead. So I fixed my sandal there, and I go to walk. And sure enough, I come up to these rapids with an Indiana Jones bridge. I said, Israel, hold on. I said, let one of them go first. It's safe. And boy, I'm serious. It was. It was rapid Indiana Jones bridge. And boy, we get on the other side, and I said, man, where are they going? We keep on going and going and going. And finally, they laid the thing down. I said, okay, good, we're here. No, we were at another river. I said, no, 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 no. They said, yes, 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 yes. We had to get in that river and go another 3 to 4 miles. We didn't get out of there till like 8:30. And then I had to go preach. I said, I would never come back to this camp again. I said, that's why y'all losing numbers. They said, the old director used to do 21 miles. I said, son. He said he wanted it tough for the kids. I said, not me. Hallelujah. I want it a little easier. I mean, all the kids that got in service about 10 o'clock, and they said, all right, rise and sing. All the kids, whoa, I'm serious. They were all yelling. It was crazy. But I'll tell you what, some of the experience, you get the experience in the outer index. Amen. And people, they thought that was fun. I said, man, that ain't fun. That's not fun to me. The first 3 hours was, but not after that. Hallelujah. That ain't fun. I lost the fun. Israel was saying the same thing. Daddy, this ain't fun no more. I said, I'm never doing that again. You ain't conning me like that. Amen. John chapter 4. And it says this in John chapter 4. Look at verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the portion of land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jacob's well was there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. God, thank you for Faith Baptist. Thank you for what you're doing here and God, getting ready for VBS and getting ready for revival. God, I ask you, Lord, would you bless them? Put your hand upon them. God, would you help me as I preach tonight, God, would you put your hand upon me? Save that soul that's nearest to hell. Courage the one that's discouraged, and we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Kenny Baldwin at the summit preached out of this and preached a great message. If you can get it, I'm telling you, you need to listen to it. It was a great message, and I appreciate it. But he said something in here about how long this well was here. And I looked this thing up, and it caught my attention that that well was there. It's Jacob's well. We're in the New Testament. It's Jacob's well, and it's about 1,500 to 1,700 years old. That's a long time. And how the well is working. And I got thinking about this, and I got thinking about the story of Jacob and Joseph and how Jacob, in Genesis chapter 32, he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. And Jacob was a conner, and you know the story if you've been in church long enough. He conned and did all these things, but I believe Jacob, when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord in Genesis chapter 32, that it was a type of salvation when God had touched his thigh, and he began to limp, and boy, he just changed his life, and he began to get straightened up. And at that time, Joseph was a young lad. And listen, that's in Genesis 33. In Genesis 33, Joseph walks up to his brother Esau and bows himself. He was just a young man. Mama had just had him not too long ago. But in chapter 33, that's when daddy buys the land. So here's Jacob buys the land, the portion of land, and he buys it, and he puts a well on it. And here it is, 1,500 to 1,700 years later, they're still using it. And in Genesis 33, Joseph's just a little boy. I got thinking about this thing, and I thought about it. He had the birth of Benjamin in Genesis 35, and Rachel dies. There's some other problems that happen with Jacob. And I got thinking about, well, maybe Jacob built that well, because the Bible says he gave it to Joseph. Remember, Joseph got right with God, and he had a limp. Jacob got right with God, he had a limp. Joseph was just a little boy. And Joseph, this little boy, can you imagine when he bought that property, that maybe him and Joseph dug the well? Now, the Bible don't say that they did. But I know this, when Joseph goes to Egypt, Joseph had a love for God that the other boys didn't have. And I believe it because he spent some time with his daddy, because his daddy got right with God. And daddy began to say, hey boy, we got the sheep, we got mama, we got the brothers, we need some water. Hey, why don't you come out here? He began to walk, why don't you come out here and help me dig this well? They say that Joseph's well is they out of stone. And here it is. I got thinking about it. The Bible don't say this, but I wonder if those two built the well together. Listen, I know Israel. He's with me, and I was telling you stories about our church and stuff. You know what he's doing? He's helping me build a well at Central Bible Baptist Church.
Yeah. Yeah.
My children, my wife, we're all trying to build a well.
Yeah.
And as I grow in the Lord, I'm building the well. I believe that he had his son there building the well with him. He probably told him, when you get older, son, I'm going to give you this land. This is going to be yours. I'm going to turn it over to you. And that well we built is going to be yours. Joseph in Genesis 37, daddy gets him a nice coat, colorful coat. But in Genesis chapter 37, he tells his son Joseph at 17 years old. He said, I want you to go check on your brothers in Shechem. But check this out. He goes to find his brothers. They're not in Shechem. They're 15 miles up the road in Dothan. The word Dothan, you know what it means? It means two dry wells. One of those wells, they threw Joseph in. And they sold him. Can you imagine when they came back with his coat with all that blood on it? Whew.
Yep.
You know what I think happened? He took a walk out to the well. He took a walk out to the well, the well where he would pull water up for that boy, where he would help his boy help them build that well. I could see him holding that coat and fall on the edge of that well and said, God, my boy. My son, I was going to give him this land. And many times, as Jacob went through his trouble, I guarantee he went out to that well. Remember the times they sat around the well and drank of water when he explained to little old Joseph how God has touched his side and changed his heart.
Yeah.
See, growing up, I've heard daddy's story all the time. Listen, some of you have been here for a long time. I'm looking around. I got young people who used to be in the youth group that are married, have a baby now. You've been around here. You've heard the old preacher man tell the story around the well. The well that he built. And boy, I'm telling you, you get thinking about this thing and thinking that maybe daddy went back out that well and got dreaming about when mama would come out there, or maybe his sons would come out there and they'd get around that well. And they get a drinking from that well. Times he'd go out there, be depressed. And he'd pull from the well. Here it is in John chapter 4, 15 to 1700 years later. They're still using the well. I don't know if that means anything to you, but it means a lot to me. I don't know if it gets you a little excited, but I want to say this. This is what I want to preach on tonight. The well that was built well. Did you hear me? The well that was built well. I'm going to say it one more time. The well that was built well.
Amen.
Listen, I'm up in Messina, New York, and we're building a well. I want to build it well. You say, why? Because 15 years down the road, I want somebody to come get a drink from that well.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said? I want somebody to come and say, man, I've never tasted nothing like this well. Man, this is a great well. And boy, I'm telling you, there's people that come up from all over to come here to youth rally in that gym. You know what they said to me before? And they keep on saying, it's like we're getting a drink of water. You say, why? Because the old preacher, man, built a well here. Hallelujah. We can come and get a good drink. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And boy, build it well. Hey, listen, the well that's built well. And we need to build it. And listen, every one of us needs to build it inside of us.
Amen.
When we got saved, God put a well down deep inside of us. Look at verse 14. But whosoever, Jesus is talking, drinketh from the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water spring up unto everlasting life. Listen, let me say this. When you got saved, God built a well that is well. Amen. He built it real well inside of you when you got saved. You say, what's that? He said, here it's like a water springing up of everlasting life. Hey, look at Genesis chapter 7. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, 37. John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last days, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this speak he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him shall receive of the Holy Ghost. Listen, I'm saying this right now. Listen, when we got saved, God built a well down deep inside of us. And some of you, as Brother Jesse was singing that song about the man in the middle, I love that man. Some of that well inside begin to stir you up, and you begin to think about it and say, man, he did save me, and I love that man in the middle. And you get stirred up. You say, what is that? That's that living water inside of you. That's that Spirit of God. That's that Holy Ghost inside of you. He said, listen, you say, why do you keep on coming to church? Why is Sunday night almost packed? Because there's a well down deep inside of you that Jesus built many, many years ago. And when you accepted him, he built it inside of you. And it just every once in a while wants to flow over. Hallelujah. And listen, we should get a little excited and say, thank God for the well. Thank God we had a Savior that built a good well. There's a lot of churches that don't have good wells. They're dried up. Did you hear me? They're dried up with their religion. But we got a well that's everlasting inside of us. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise his holy name. The well that was built well. Boy, I'm glad we got it inside of us. But not only that, I'm glad we got a church we could come to. I look around and see all these folks in here. Listen, if you remember when it started, I remember when it started. Daddy didn't preach up here. He preached right here. And I sat right there. Mama sat right there, and nobody else was here. Everybody else left and got mad at him. I remember that. But I remember I told my church the other day we were singing a song, and my mind went back to the old hymn, Brother Jesse. I can't remember what hymn it is now, but we were singing it. I told the churches, I said, I remember sitting here with nobody here and no piano, and Daddy was leading it. And boy, tears started running down his face as he was singing it with his family on a Sunday morning, and nobody else was here. I said, man, church, the well was springing up, amen, because God had put a well down in the deepest side of us. Hallelujah. Yeah, amen. Boy, you get thinking about this. You think about other religions, right, and how other religions, they don't have this well. This well, they don't understand why they shout, why they cry, why do they go Wednesday night? Why do they go street preaching? Why do they keep on reading that book? Why do they keep on doing it? They don't understand that. How can you forgive them for what they did? They don't understand the love of God. They don't understand the well that's inside of us. You say, why? Because the well was built well. Hallelujah. It was a good well. And boy, I'm glad for that well that God put down deep inside of me. But I'm also glad for the well that was put here. Old English man. And our preacher come and built that well for us. Built it. Number one, I like to say this. Look at verse 12 of John chapter 4. You doing all right? Say amen. Amen. Don't die on me. I want to encourage you tonight that we got a good well. John chapter 4, look at verse 12. Look what she says to Jesus. Thou art greater than the father Jacob, which giveth us a well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Number one, I like to say this. He built it to last. Amen. You say, what do you mean? I'm saying she knew that it was 15 to 1700 years ago. Her father, the father Jacob, built it. And he built it to last. Because it was the place where she came and got water out of Samaria. And it was built to last. You know why she knew it was built to last? Because she knew the story behind it. She said, hey, it was built for his children. It was built for his cattle. And it was built for his family. She knew what he went through. She knew about Jacob in his sorrows. She knew he went to Pharaoh and said, hey, the years of my pilgrimage was this many, 100-some years. He said, but it was evil. Few they were in evil. She knew about it. She knew he built it to last. I think many times as he went through those years, as Joseph was away from him in Egypt, he'd go that well and weep. And he'd get a sweet drink and go back and keep on doing what he was doing. Boy, there's times we're going through. And listen, I know, Faith, you're going through it. I know it. When I came to Brother George's funeral, I told my daddy, I said, Dad, I said, what's the Lord doing? 4 years. 4 years, he's taking a lot of guys out of your church. What's he doing? I don't know what God's doing. But I know one thing. There's a sweet well here. I'm not questioning God, but listen, I know there's a sweet well here. And all them boys that leave here, you know what we know where the sweet well is? We know it's right here. And we hear good things. You know what it does for us? It gives us a sweet drink when we're out in the wilderness sometimes. When we're out there, Brother Jesse, and preaching, and a little bit of discouraged, we call back home, and preacher or somebody says, or somebody sends me a text, I tell you what, it's a sweet drink from the well. Hallelujah. And brothers and sisters, and listen, I know you live here. I know you go here. Don't you ever forget it. You got a sweet drink here. Hallelujah. He built it to last, like God built our Bible to last. Boy, we got a Bible that nobody ever going to take away. Hey, say, man, my word. Boy, I'm telling you, we come to service, and our main focus is to preach right out of this. It ain't no Mormon. It ain't no Jehovah Witness book. It's nothing else. He built it well.
These words.
Yeah, like Brother Kenny said, these words, amen. He built them well. He built this Bible well. And boy, we get to use it. We use it in VBS. We use it on the street corners. We use it in our homes. We use it everywhere. You say, why? Because it's a good drink.
Amen.
He built it well. Not only he built it, built the Bible well, but he built us Christians well.
Amen.
He said, wait a minute. I know some Christians. Listen, we hear this statement all the time. Hey, listen, God's people are the best people. We also hear sometimes they're the worst people.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right? But boy, they outbeat the worst people.
That's right.
God's people are the best people.
Amen.
And he knows how to build them well.
Amen.
Did you hear me? He knows how to build them. You need to say, why? Because he knows there's a living water inside of them.
That's Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And when you're down and out, and when you need when you have trouble in your life and you have problems, that brother or sister going to come by and going to let you get a drink out of their well. Not only that, he'd done it at the church. I was at a church this morning in New Jersey. A guy had been wanting me to come preach there for a while. A friend of mine went there and preached this morning, doing a work not too far from Brother Charlie Clark's. Still had a full house.
Amen.
Still had a full house. Seeing people saved. They just seen two people saved knocking on doors. You say, why? Because he builds them well. Not only that, look at verse 11. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. And the well is what?
Deep.
You know what I like about our God? Brother Jesse, he's not just a surface God.
Yeah.
He's a deep God.
Yeah.
He builds our wells deep.
Amen.
He builds them deep. He don't mess around. You know what he builds deep? He builds the love of God deep.
Amen.
He builds it deep. Hey, listen, God's love, if you get a little touch of that, he said, come and taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
It'll change your life.
Amen.
It'll change your life.
Amen.
The love of God. We sing that song, the love of God, how rich, how pure. Boy, I got some people in my church, and man, I'm telling you, they said, preacher, we've never seen anybody love people like you. And I said, it ain't me. It's because of the love of Jesus.
Amen.
Woo! That he would send his son to die on the cross for us. And then after that, he put his Holy Spirit inside of us. And then he give us a book
Amen.
To encourage that Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And then to put that love when some drug addict or somebody comes in that's a mess or somebody don't look like you, and you can love on them and go after them and see them saved and see their lives change. And everybody say, man, what's wrong with so-and-so? It's because of the love of Christ.
Amen.
He builds it deep.
Amen.
He don't mess around.
Right.
His wisdom is deep. His understanding is deep. Listen, I do get sick and tired of people going, I don't understand this. I don't understand the Bible. I don't understand all this. The problem is a lot of times is we don't want to understand it. That's the problem. I got a guy in my church named Sean started coming. He comes with a cane. He's about 27, babe, 28, Sean. How old is he? Something like that. He's somewhere in there. He hurt his back real bad. He called me up on the phone, irritated me. First time. Hey, Pastor Ryan, listen, I want to come check your church out. I want to sit down with you, have a meeting with you, talk to you for a little bit. I said, okay. He said, I want to check you out and make sure it's a good church to come to. And right off the bat, I'm getting defensive, you know what I mean? I'm like, Lord, I can't do that, Lord, help me. He goes, yeah, because that church had a bad spirit on it before. I said, well, why are you calling one to try to come back then? I said, all right, I'll meet with you. So he came, and man, he began to go off, kind of attacking the church, and I said, whoa, 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 some people in my church, because he came and visited, said, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, look, bro, we're all sinners. And I began to talk to him and calm him down. And that old boy began to weep. And I said, what the problem is, you've been out of church so long, and you ain't been reading your Bible. You're judging everybody from their past.
Amen.
He's picking out people in my church he's seen do this and do that. And I said, and if you're going to do that, this ain't the church for you.
Amen.
I said, because these people got their lives changed.
That's right. Amen.
I said, did you know brother so-and-so lost two boys? He said, no. I said, see, you haven't walked in their shoes. See his wife weep during service when I talk about children and talk about the death of children. Had two boys, one shot and killed, and one motorcycle accident, ran into a house, got killed. All because of sin. And you can't come in here. And he began to weep. And he said, thank you, preacher. He began to come. He texted me before. He's so funny. He texted me, do we have service tonight? I said, yes, Sean. Just because I'm not there, we're having service. Amen. But he's the loudest shouter. Listen, 2 weeks after he was there, he went out and led his first soul to the Lord.
Amen.
Man, he got stirred up. And you know what he says all the time when we're singing? God, thank God I'm saved. Tears running down his face.
Amen.
You say, what happened? He got a little deeper in his Bible. See, it was a surface relationship. And if you have a surface relationship and not a deep relationship, what you're going to do, you're going to pick out everybody's faults. And you're going to start picking them out, and you're going to start getting upset. You're going to start getting bitter. And he said, I ain't going back to that church. I dealt with a man today. He threw all his suits out. He said, preacher, you preach right at me. He said, I need to get right. He caught tears in his eyes. My family's falling apart. My wife's miserable. He said, I need to get plugged back in. He said, I got mad at this other church, and I threw all my shirt suits out, and that's why I'm dressed like this. He said, because I was sick of all the stuff. And he said, I got bitter. I said, did you get right? He said, yeah, I went back to that church and asked them to forgive me.
Amen.
I said, then get plugged in. Amen. Listen, I don't want to have a surface relationship. I want to have a deep relationship.
Amen.
I want to understand. I want to understand God's word. I want to understand his wisdom. I want to understand his love. And lastly, go to Genesis 26. Genesis chapter 26. Doing all right? Say amen.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you got a good well?
Amen.
Listen, you might be discouraged tonight, but you got a good well.
Yeah.
Got a place. You can come and get a good drink. You got VBS coming. Man, how many kids are going to get saved? Anticipating those things and setting up. And Brother Jim's up here with his little squeezy ball trying to get you excited, trying to tell you jokes to get you excited. Hey, listen, I'm telling you. Listen, guys, we've been doing this for, I say we because I feel like I'm back home again, but I said, you guys have been doing this for years.
Amen.
Don't ever let it get stagnant.
Amen.
Because those little kids are coming to a well.
Yeah.
And they're going to drink from a well they've never drank
Amen.
From. They're going to, their family's going to drink from a well they never drank from.
Yeah.
Don't you forget it.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 26. Look at verse 18. It says this, and Jacob dug again the wells of water, which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names of which the fathers had called them. Number three, I like to say this. He built it so we can maintain it.
Amen.
He built them so we can maintain it. Listen, I read that. I thought it was amazing. If you read that story, he comes in, Isaac comes in and begins to dig, and they begin to find the wells. Even though the Philistines try to cover them up and stop them, he built them so well, and he built them so deep. Did you hear me? He built them so well. He built them so deep that it made it easier for them boys to come in and dig them back up and have the water they had. And listen, we got folks all over this country that the world, the flesh, and the devil's covered up your well. And we sit in churches and we can't get a drink from yours. Did you ever wonder, brother, Jesus came to the well because he wanted a drink. Now, he knew what he was doing, Brother Jesse. He knew that woman was coming, but he was weary, the Bible says, and he wanted a drink. So let me ask you, can he drink from your well? If Jesus walked in here, could he say, man, that was a good drink? When you worship, it's not about you, but it's about worshiping him. Man, that's a good drink. When you sing or when you play an instrument, hey, that was a good drink. When you preach or when you just come and sing in the congregation, that was a good drink because you've been maintaining the well.
Amen.
You're saying, you know what? Hey, this got my life. You know what happened to me at the summit? The Lord convicted my heart. I'm going back home. I'm going to dig up some wells that have been covered up by things. I just let them go, and I got to maintain them. I got to go back to them. You say, why? Because that's where the drinks are.
Amen.
That's where the drink is. And we need to get back to digging them wells back. You say, why? Because he built them well. He built them to last.
Amen.
And they're deep. Brother Roloff said, whatever's in your well is going to come out of the bucket.
Yeah, that's good.
Whatever's in your well is going to come out of the bucket. I want my well to be deep. But Brother Jesse, I got to maintain it. Because he put it inside of me to maintain.
Amen.
You know, there's guys we're still drinking well, good water from that are not here no more.
Yep.
Mike Morseberger. Keith. Amen. I can still hear him say, I miss him when I come here. But when I came back for the funeral, Brother Squeaky, I saw his picture back there. I took my phone out real quick. Whew, took one.
Amen.
You say, why? I had a deep well.
Yeah.
Amen.
My friend George.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. He's drinking from George's well right now.
Amen.
That's an answered prayer.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a little deep right now. You understand what I mean that? I'm going to get a little deep with you, Faith Baptist. My brother told me, he said, I'm flying out to help mom and dad. And if you haven't figured out, your preacher's hurting.
Yeah.
Your preacher's wife's hurting.
Yeah.
And it's time for us to let them have a drink of our well. And Josh was on the phone with me. He said, I'm going to try to go out and encourage mom and dad. I said, Joshua, you don't know what you're doing. Mom and dad are getting a drink right now. They've been waiting for a long time.
Yeah,
Faith Baptist getting a drink right now, waiting for a long time.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, it comes from George.
Yep.
George used to call me. We talk on the phone. He said, pray. I said, George, you're going to do something there, man. I told him when y'all had him be youth, I said, you're the man.
Amen.
I said, you're the man.
Yep.
God appointed you there. I'd text George every once in a while. I'd call him. I'd say, hey, George, hey, thank you for sticking with my daddy.
Amen.
He said, what are you saying? Some of you need to start digging your wells back up because the preacher needs you. I'm not trying to rebuke you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to say he's older now. He ain't the runner like he used to be. I had a man in the church this morning say, hey, could you keep up with your daddy? When he run the aisles, I remember seeing him at the tent meeting, running the aisles. I said, I don't know if I still can't keep up with him. We draw from his well, don't we? Am I wrong or am I right? We've drawn from his well. We've drawn from her well.
Amen.
It's time for them to draw from our well.
Amen.
Some of y'all need to get your act together.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I want to say this for some of you. You've got your act together, and I've watched you since I've been gone. Thank you.
Amen.
This old boy gets a drink from your well.
Amen.
He got a drink from your well. My mama talks about it. She'll call me and say, oh, so-and-so did this. So-so. Amen, mama. Amen. Praise the Lord, mama. You say, what's that? They're getting a drink from your well.
Yeah.
The well that they dug for you. The one that they built well. The one that they labored over. They paid for. And they put the word of God deep inside of you.
Yeah.
His brother Jesse comes to the piano. Listen, I'm telling you, when the Lord gave me this message the other night, I was stirred. You say, why? Because I know my church back home. It's a little sore. It's a little hurting. And whatever you got problems with, you need to get it right tonight. There's a well deep here. And I don't want to see the devil take Faith Baptist out. I got right here. I got right with God. My friends got saved here. And this is a deep well. And God had used his preacher and his wife to dig this well. Some of you have been out and been back. And you need to maintain your wells. My daddy didn't know I was going to do this. I didn't know I was going to do this. Some of y'all need to hug Miss April. Brother George impacted all our lives. Told Dad after the storm, after the funeral's over, the storm is still going to be there for them. You need to thank her. Giving her husband up for you. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey, you know one thing I know about George? He's had some trouble in his life. And I remember he lived over there with me. And every night he'd come home from work, we'd get down to pray. He said, Samson, God's done with you. I said, no, he's not, Brother George. No, he's not done with you, man.
Amen.
You know what I drink from Brother George as well? Going through the hard times and still going on. Say why? Because he builds a good well inside of us. It's all because of Jesus. I'm not trying to just praise men, but I'm saying it's because of Jesus that we dig these wells. It's because of Jesus we do this. And I hope some of you tonight say, you know what? There's some things I've need to pick up. Go dig those wells back up. Spring of living water. Maybe it's somebody you need a witness to. Maybe it's somebody you need to go get right with. Maybe it's somebody. So I've been messing around. I don't want a shallow well. I want a deep well. Got a family in my church called the Wright family. Brother Lee, he's such a blessing. They come to my church. I had my first wedding in November. Somebody just robbed the church, broke in my church, didn't take anything. I was rejoicing. I called the police. My wife looked down. She says, "What about your tools?" I said, "No, they didn't. They stole all my tools out of my bag." Then I was mad.
Yeah. Amen.
I had to preach a wedding the next day. My first wedding had 10 people get saved.
Amen.
What was a blessing?
Thank you, Lord.
Yep. It was 10 people because that couple decided that they weren't going to move in together because they were going to move in. He got saved, and I talked to him about it, and they said, I said, "Would you not move?" And they said, "No, we're not going to move in together. Preacher, we'll wait to the wedding." Man, I jumped up and shouted, scared him half to death. I said, "God's going to bless you." And he gave, his mama got saved. His daddy, listen, his daddy later on came to church Sunday night. Still comes to church Sunday night because he works Sunday morning. He got saved a couple months back. His uncles got saved. His cousins got saved. But there was a family sitting in the back, the Wright family. And they came up, and they come up. They had three teenage boys. And they said, "Pastor Ryman, is it okay if we come here?" I said, "Yeah, do you all go to a church?" They said, "Yeah, we go to Church of Christ." I already knew they were lost. And then she asked me this question. She said, I've never had anybody ask me this question. She said, "Would it be okay if we give like some money to your church?" I said, "I'll take the devil's money." And she busted out laughing. And so they came. They were so in works and works and works. And I'll never forget the dad and the oldest boy, his stepson, walked the aisle one morning and got saved. And then their other boys got saved, and we had our Christmas Eve service, and her other boy got saved, but she didn't get saved. It all works. After he came back from the youth ablaze, her son was talking to me about his real dad and discussing stuff done. He said, "My mom said this," and I came out of my office, and my sister-in-law, Larissa, was there, and Lynette were talking to her already about the thing because she was all messed up. I was like, "That ain't right, Miss Charlene." I said, "Let me show you through my..." And we spent an hour and a half with her. And she finally got it. She got on her knees. She began to pray. She said, "Lord, I'm so tired of trying to work to get to heaven." And man, she started, "Boy, I'm so tired. Would you save me? You saved my family." And man, we were weeping. Woo! They're so faithful. They're so faithful to church. They hugged my neck the other day. They come by the house. They bought my little girl some stuff. They said, "We just want to thank you." You know what they're saying? "We want to thank you for the well."
Yeah.
Man, we would have been going our way to hell in the other church. But preacher, we're so glad. We always tease them. "I'm going back to Delaware." "No, you're not. No, you're not." They said, "Man, you brought a..." We need to tell everybody, and they're witnessing. They say it's such a good drink. And man, I'm telling you, remember when you used to be like that? We should want to come to church and get a good drink. It's not his responsibility all the time, is what I'm trying to say. It's our responsibility. We say, "Hey, God, we want something from you." Because we got wells too. And we know you put them deep. And we want them in our babies. And we want it for the next generation. I didn't want to hurt nobody tonight. I just wanted to encourage you tonight.
Amen. Good,
the well that was built well.
Yeah.
Father, thank you for tonight. God, thank you for this message, Father. You gave it to me just this weekend, Father. God, help me to be a well to Messina, to my family, to my daddy and my mama, to my friends. I'm sorry, God, when I shut the well. Thank you for digging deep. Thank you for making it last. And God, like Paul says, you put us in responsible for the gospel. We owe a great debt, and we have to maintain that well. God, help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.